It is so great to see you here today. Before Pastor Karen comes up and gives the rest of the announcements, I want to let you guys all know what's going on. If you're part of our email distribution list, you heard that Lynn Moser passed away on Tuesday night. She was battling liver cancer, and so she passed away on Tuesday night. Dick is here with us this morning, and Jeffrey's back there too, her son. There is a memorial service. There's information about this in your worship guide on a Friday at noon at the Church of Christ down on Ina Road, corner of Ina and Mona Lisa. So I hope that as many of you as can make it fit with your schedules can join us down there to honor Lynn's life. And I think it's going to be a really great memorial to her. One of the things that Dick is hoping is that, like Samson, more people will be saved through her death than through her life, you know? More lives will be impacted by that. So we're inviting a lot of people that she worked with at Barnes & Noble's, and a lot of people that she knew outside of the church. And we're gonna save some souls on Friday. How about that? All right. So, and there is a lunch right after the service at the church also. Okay, Karen.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I want to share with you. Oh, I forgot. Okay. Forgot to grab, and then I really think about you guys. I really do. Thank you. Can you get me that leadership? Yeah, thank you. For the guys, Fred? For the man right over there. There you go. Right there. I printed out some prayer guides for the missions, Foursquare Missions, so there are a few over there. It is awesome. There's power in prayer, and so these are just different prayer requests that they've had for each day, and it's really awesome to be able to join with others throughout the Foursquare denomination praying for these missionaries. Along with prayer, thank you, Fred, is also there's Martyr magazines. You may take one over there. It's also awesome to, there's other, many Christians around the world that are being martyred for the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Does anybody remember the first martyr? Stephen. Yeah. He wasn't one of the disciples. He was just an ordinary Christian doing work for the Lord, but gave his life for the Lord, sharing the gospel of Christ to others upon his death. It is really awesome to know that God uses each one of us, no matter whether we are a leader or not, a spiritual leader or not. We are all, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are an awesome witness to be able to tell others of the power of His saving grace through His blood that was shed on the cross for each one of us. So there's power in prayer. Please be praying for missionaries around the world, not only those that are on this missionary prayer form or that are mentioned in the martyrs, but you men have an awesome conference coming up. And there are these over there that tell you about this awesome conference, and that's on October 14th through the 16th. Pastor Doug, did you ever get somebody to take up your offer?
That's still available. Anybody who wants to go, I have one scholarship that Jackie and I are paying for.
So. Okay. So, but you need, you know, your transportation, your meals, but the scholarship for it, because it's $115, but registration by October 10th. By September 26th is 115. After, are you doing the only 115, or will you go 129?
15.
115. So you have to tell Pastor Doug by September 26th if you want to take him up on that offer. Ladies, we also have a Women Arise conference coming up, and so we are not going to be having our women's breakfast this month. Instead, I encourage you to go to this Women Arise conference. There are 6 different churches involved, different denominations. There are different breakout sessions. 3 of the ladies from our own church are doing some of the breakout sessions. There's going to be an awesome time of worship. There's going to be prayer altar ministry if you want to stay later from 4 to 5 with worship going on. There's some prayer dance worship going to be on, and it is totally free. If you know of other women that want to come, please tell them about it. We want all to be able to come. There is also, it's besides it being free, some women, their schedules, they were only able to make it to the morning session or the afternoon session. That's totally fine too. Whatever you can make it to, come and be blessed. And from 12 to 1 will be a lunch break. You know that there's a lot of places to grab a bite to eat really close to the Wycliffe Center within 2 5-minute drive. But you can also bring a bag lunch. That is totally fine. They are fine with you eating on the grounds, and we all know it's beautiful there. And it's right off of Mainsail, Bub's Grub. Just go up there, turn left on Vernon, and it's right there. Starts at 9 o'clock. Registration starts at 8 if you want to come and register for one of those breakout sessions. You can register online, too, but on womanofthetruthministries.org or net or com, and you can see more of the bios and the breakout summaries. So also, we have the Women's Night Out tomorrow night. So that's 6:30 to 8 right over here at Basha's Starbucks area, the kiosk area. The Starbucks does close at 7, though, if you want to get something to eat, to drink from there or eat. They have desserts, stuff by then. But also, I want to tell you, our Women's Bible Study starts Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock at my house. And I'm not leading it, but somebody else is. And so I'm not going to tell who that person is. Or, yeah, you have to come to find out. It is. Yeah. I know, and I apologize because, Jackie, you were the one that asked us to do it, and I remember you said the earlier the better, and I apologize. I went back to the old time, so I was corrected by my team, and they said, Karen, you forgot, and I just, so I need you guys to forgive me. Yeah, no, it's 9 o'clock because we are honoring your request. I mean, and so I apologize for that because that was no problem. We were just doing 9:30 because it worked out with my schedule last time, and so thank you, yeah. But 9 o'clock, it starts at my house. And come and see. I have extra books, so if you want to come and join us, it'll be awesome. We're going to learn from the bad. We're not going to learn to be bad girls of the Bible. We're going to learn from the bad girls of the Bible. So, because we learned the excellent wife thing that, before, that we are not excellent. And so, anyways, but thank you so much. And then, look, remember Thursdays? We got the youth. We got the men's conversational Bible study. So there's lots going on during the week. Don't forget the Catalina Food Bank donations, non-perishable food items, and clothing they accept to be a blessing to those in this community that are less fortunate. Thank you. Now, we're going to, I almost forgot, we're going to now do this wonderful time of tithes and offerings. I don't know about you, but I like this time. This is like a blessed time because everything that we have. Remember we were singing the breath? That is from God. I know I've said it before, but it amazes me how much God truly has blessed us. Even when everything seems to not be going right, we are still in the palm of His hands as we surrender ourselves to His will, His way, His timing for His glory. And I just thank Him for every increase that we have is His. And He asks us, well, no, actually, the tithe is His. Whether we're obedient to Him or not, that's our choice. He doesn't force us. But then the offerings we do in the leading of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to Him, not because somebody said this or that, but because we are obedient to the Holy Spirit and what He has put on our heart to give above and beyond our tithes. This is a blessed time. And God will bless us for our obedience to Him, His ways, even when it doesn't make sense to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord God, for Your awesome, wonderful love for each one of us. We thank You and praise You for every bit of increase we have had because it comes from You. We ask and pray that as we are loving, obedient, with cheerful hearts, giving our tithes and offerings unto You, Lord God, we thank You and praise You that You will pour Your blessings down upon us as we obey You because of Your awesome, wonderful love for each one of us. We thank You and praise You, Lord God, that as these tithes are received, we want to honor and glorify You with these tithes and offerings. We thank You and praise You that You will use these in ways that will bring life and light to this community, Lord God, through Your gospel, through Your love being shed in and through us as pathway of hope. We thank You and praise You that even part of these tithes and offerings go to the missions around the world through the Foursquare. We thank You for that, Lord God. And we thank You for Your love again for each one of us, the power that we have in Your name. Your name. Thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Before we get into the message this morning, I want to give you an update on this building we've been looking at for our church. Last Sunday, we took a vote, if you remember, on whether to proceed with the building or not. And I got a few last-minute financial papers from our church treasurer, Evelyn, as well, and sent all that stuff off to Foursquare on Monday. The vote passed 42-1 to proceed. So that's an overwhelming, outpouring of support. So thank you very much for that. And now is a very critical time, since Foursquare now has all the paperwork and everything that they need to review our finances and this lease proposal. And so be praying, please, through over the next week or two as they review this lease and our finances and try to decide if we can afford to move forward into this building. It looks like it works. From my eyes, you know, we can make it work. It's just a matter of whether they think that it'll work, you know, in their eyes. Because if our church goes under, Foursquare is stuck with paying that lease for the remainder of the lease. So that's why they need to approve it. So be praying for that. And again, as I've been saying over the past couple of weeks, the ways that you can help, the ways that you can be involved in this process are to be here every Sunday, give your tithes and your offerings, invite people, tell people about Pathway, what an awesome church it is, what a great pastor you have, and invite them to come and join you on Sundays, and most importantly, pray. Be praying through this entire process, okay? So this is the next major hurdle that our church is facing in this process, and it needs to be covered in prayer, so... Good. As I'm sure that you know, today is the 10th anniversary of 9/11, of the September 11th attacks, terrorist attacks. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning, as well as tie it into Lynn Moser passing away earlier this week. And really, they're in some ways, they are related, and I want to talk about to you about that. This is a hard message this morning. But let's pray. Can we pray for our country and for the Moser family as well? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the protection that you give us in our daily lives. Lord, we know that you're there, and we know that you are protecting us, and your hand is on us. Lord, sometimes horrible things happen in our country and in our lives, and we don't know how to explain it sometimes. But Lord, you're in control. Lord, I pray for our country right now as we honor those who were lost 10 years ago today, on September 11th, 2001. Lord, I pray that you would give peace to those families that are still hurting. I pray that you would continue to cover our nation, Lord, with your protection against something like this happening again. Give us wisdom as we move forward as a nation. And Lord, I pray for the Moser family as they deal with this loss this past week, Lord. Dick and Jeffrey, who are here, and the other kids, Lord, I pray that you would give them peace. Lord, bless their family. And help us to understand a little bit of why something like this happens. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, both of these events, the 10th anniversary of September 11th and Lynn Moser passing away, they both happened in the relatively same time frame. And so I thought I'd take a moment and ask a question that's been on a lot of people's minds this past week. And that question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, a lot of us have been asking that this last week. I mean, there's people that follow God, that seek after Him, that obey Him. And junk still happens to them. Bad things still happen in their lives. Why is that? I want to tell you a little bit about some of the people that were lost 10 years ago today. After Flight 93 had been hijacked 10 years ago and was being flown by one of the hijackers, and all the passengers had been moved to the rear of the plane to kind of keep them all together. Some of the crew and the passengers, they started making phone calls from a couple cell phones and from the airphones that are there in the seats. And those passengers then learned, because this was the fourth plane to be hijacked, they had already learned that three other planes had also been hijacked and crashed into buildings, two into the World Trade Center and one into the Pentagon. And they knew that that was going to be their fate too. They knew that's what was coming. Their plane had been redirected east towards Washington, D.C. And one of the passengers, Tom Burnett, he was on the phone with his wife, and he said, "Don't worry, we're going to do something." And the passengers took a vote, and they decided to storm the cockpit and try to retake the plane, you know, and keep something like this from happening. Their goal was really to take back the plane and then try to figure out how to land it. But at the very least, they wanted to stop the plane from getting to its destination and hurting more people. And so the cockpit recorder that was recovered at the crash site, it shows that the hijackers were trying to hold off the assault by the passengers. They were trying to move the plane left and right and up and down and trying to throw them off balance as they were trying to charge to the cockpit, right? And after a struggle that lasted a few minutes, the plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, nowhere near its intended target, and everybody died. But those folks on that plane, those guys were heroes. They were heroes. They were good people. Why did something like this have to happen to them? William Weems was a passenger on United Flight 175 that hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center. He was married. He had a 7-year-old daughter. And a friend said of him afterwards, he said, his life was really based on what he could do to enhance the lives of others. Most importantly, his wife and his daughter Zoe. Why would something like this happen to somebody like that? Somebody good. Herb Homer was 48 years old when he died on 9/11. He worked for the Department of Defense. He was a member of the First Congregational Church of Milford and was on several church committees, and he volunteered in the church nursery, and he was a coach for Special Olympics. That was a good man. Donald Peterson was a passenger on Flight 93 along with his wife Jean. He was 66 years old and Jean was 55. They were on their way to San Francisco for an annual family vacation to Yosemite. 10 years previous to that, Donald had left his corporate job and become a missionary. And he impacted the lives of people. He ministered to alcoholics and addicts and women with crisis pregnancies and residents of impoverished nations. Donald and Jean were good, God-honoring people. And they were a casualty in this tragedy. Those are just a few of the good people that lost their lives that day 10 years ago. 10 years ago today. Why does this happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow a good person like Lynn Moser to go through all that pain and misery, and then she's taken away from us? Why does God allow that? Why didn't He hear our prayers for healing? Why didn't He answer our prayers for healing? A lot of us have been asking those questions this week. And we aren't the only ones to ever ask those questions. King David in Psalm 13, starting in verse 1, he says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall." The prophet Jeremiah, he watched the fall of Jerusalem and the deportation of his people. He says in Jeremiah 15, 17 and 18, he says, "I sat alone because your hand was on me and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails." He's accusing God of deceiving him. And he says, "You failed me." And then Job, in the middle of his trials, and Job was a wealthy man. He had everything a guy could want. He had riches. He had children. He had it all. And it all was taken away from him. His health, his kids, his money. Everything was taken away. And he says in Job 10, "I loathe my very life. Therefore I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I say to God, 'Do not declare me guilty, but tell me what charges you have against me. Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands while you smile on the plans of the wicked?'" Then a little later he says, "Your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me?" And all three of these men, David, Jeremiah, Job, they were all God-fearing men who loved God and were serving Him and were obeying Him, following Him. And all three of those guys went through some serious junk in their lives. One thing that I want you to understand is that it's okay to question God. It's okay to ask God, "What in the heck are you doing?" That's what these three men were doing. "What in the world are you thinking, God? Why are you doing this? Why are we going through this?" He wants us to interact with Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. And sometimes the only way we can do that, it's just to rail against Him in anger. And believe me, that's better than shutting Him out completely. It's okay to ask God, "Why?" Well, I have two reasons that I've come up with why I think the bad things happen to good people. The first one is free will. Free will is one reason why bad things happen to good people. In the 9/11 attacks, in the hijackers, good people suffered and died because of the actions taken by bad people, by evil people. God has given us free will, right? He doesn't want a bunch of robots. He's given us a choice whether to serve Him or not, whether to worship Him or not. And sometimes people choose not to worship Him, not to serve and obey Him. And sometimes good people suffer as a result of that, because of the actions that are taken. Innocent, good people suffer and die. There's sin in the world. Those evil people, hijackers 10 years ago, other people that are planning things for the future, terrorist attacks, they may succeed in their plans here. But we know the future, don't we? We know that those people are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for their actions. And we also know that those who are casualties of those actions, if they're saved, then they're in heaven. They're in heaven waiting for us. And they're going to spend eternity in Christ's presence, worshiping Him. But while we're here, sometimes bad things happen to good people because bad people do bad things. It's free will. Free will causes some heartache. Second reason why I think sometimes bad things happen to good people is that God is sovereign. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. I think it's just an excuse. But it's true. God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. God knows what He's doing. We spent the past month and a half, right, talking about God's plan and about how we can trust Him, knowing that we have a hope and we have a future because He's in control. We've just got to continue to trust Him in our lives. He knows the future. He knows what's coming. He can see the end of the road a lot clearer than we can. And He knows what we need to get there. And so some of the things that we go through in our lives, they are to prepare us for the end of the road, for what's coming. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, if you remember, this word was given by the prophet Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. Remember where Israel was at the time that this word was given? They were in captivity in Babylon. They were slaves. They were being beaten and killed by their Babylonian masters that had conquered them. Their circumstances looked bleak. But God is telling them, He's reminding them, "I'm in control. God is sovereign." They could still have hope, and they could still have a future. Even when horrible things happen in our own lives, when we lose people we love, like Lynn, when we face insurmountable odds in our marriage or in our finances, when it seems like the world, our world, is caving in around us, we need to remember We need to know that God is sovereign. Everything that happens is a part of His plan. And everything that happens has a reason. So the bottom line answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people, is I have no idea. I really don't. But God does. And for me, I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to move forward and live my life trusting Him, knowing that He's in control. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to love Him no matter what happens to me or no matter what happens in my life. I'm going to trust Him. And I hope that as your pastor, you can imitate me in that. Follow God. Trust Him. No matter what. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we are heartbroken today. Lord, we lost someone that we love. And I don't pretend to try to understand your ways or your hand. But Lord, I'm trusting you. We know that you are in control. We know that everything that happens is for a reason. Even if we can't see that reason when we're in the middle of that situation. But Lord, we're going to trust you. We love you so much. Lord, use this tragedy that's happened in the Mosers' life. Lord, use them. Use that tragedy to bring people to you. Turn it around for something good, God. In our country as well, Father, as we remember the tragedy 10 years ago today, Lord, I pray that people's memory of that time would bring them back to you. Send them running back to you, Lord. Let them recognize that you're in control, that you are the only one who can save them. There is no salvation except through you. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our prayer teams available to your left. Anything at all that you need prayer for in your lives, I know there's a lot of hurting people in this room this morning. Please come and be prayed for. Release your burdens. Just lay them down.